This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And with us is Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. We've got some ground to cover with Mark. And a few listeners today have asked about what's going on with our governor, who's calling for the resignation of a judge, a state judge. Mark, this is a story that just seems to keep on going, and the governor has weighed in.
And I'm speaking from my bunker underneath the stairs of the state capitol, so wishing I had a mansion in Montana.
There you go. That makes two of us.
Well, the judge from the 23rd Judicial District, Assumption Parish, it was having an affair with a sheriff's deputy, and when information about that had started getting out, they texted one another, and some of those texts included derogatory remarks about two African Americans who worked in the court, and calling them all sorts of derogatory names. Now, the argument that she raises is that, this was a private conversation, and it doesn't really match a professional demeanor. However, when you're particularly in these days, when you're making statements like that, then the defendants in her court can come in and say, well, wait a minute, she has shown that she is racially biased, and therefore she should recuse herself from my case. And then there's the idea that that in this day and age that people would talk like that, and that's where the governor has come in on both of those issues, more so I think on the fact that you can't really talk like that and be demeaning like that in this day and age. So,
yeah.
Now, he has no say-so in whether or not she gets replaced or not, but he recommends that she ought to step down.
It will be curious to see if U.S. Senator Bill Cassidy, U.S. Senator John Kennedy, any of the congressmen, anybody of the stature similar to the governor would comment on something like this. So far, there's been crickets.
Well, and I don't think that we'll see them comment on that. So, I mean, that is something that the reporters here are trying to ferret out, but my guess is there's not going to be much comment.
Well, and something like this is fair game. I don't think there's any doubt that the governor made a call, and it took him a few days, too. He didn't come right out the day it broke, but he's made a calculation, and in this case, some would believe a prudent one. But let's face it, there are a lot of people in this state who use that word, who voted for particular candidates, and politicians don't like to offend even people who are not necessarily the nicest people on the planet if they voted for them.
Well, yeah, I guess that's going to be the case, but I mean, it's hard to defend the use of that kind of language.
You can't defend it. You can't defend it.
Put myself in the other person's shoes, and I just find it difficult to put myself in those shoes.
But silence speaks volumes sometimes.
I think that what the volumes is speaking is that, please don't involve me in this.
Right.
So it was good for, the governor took a brave stance. The delay, I think, having to do with, all of those other aspects of it that we talked about earlier. But he took a courageous stance and stepped up and said that this is what ought to be done.
Jill Kraft, the attorney for the judge, Judge Lamont, had a good point in saying, well, if this is the standard that we're going to hold public officials to, there's going to be a lot of company. Well, maybe there should be a lot of company. Maybe anybody who uses that word in that way should be sent on their way from public life.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with you, so you're preaching with the choir here. There are others that think they're good people on both sides, and
well, we've heard.
But I think if you're going to be using that kind of language for taxpayers, for residents and citizens of the state, that that's just
right
unacceptable.
Well, you had a front page story a few days ago. I'm looking for the precise date. It was a week ago today. Louisiana colleges must raise admission standards. And we had a listener wanting you to opine on this on your regular Thursday visit. The story from Mark, a week ago, the state's top higher education board approved a sheaf of new minimum requirements for students seeking admission to Louisiana public colleges and universities. What's going on here, Mark?
Well, I think that the changes, for the most part, were to allow more holistic type of admission standards. Now, those are the ones where we're not using the hard score, the ACT score and the hard GPA, but looking at the full file is what they call it, and that's you know, what their life was, what they've been doing outside of school, what the circumstances were for their grades, and what it basically did was it allowed more of exceptions to the admission rule. So it kept the hard scores, but it allowed the universities to bring in more students under these admissions exceptions. And then it also added an enforcement arm to it. And there is a bill that Cleo Fields filed that would challenge the admission standards based on that enforcement, saying that that the enforcement standard is unenforceable. And the enforcement standard is if the colleges went above, as LSU did, went above the exceptions, the admission exceptions, that they could, that the regions could curtail some of the money that goes to that university.
Well, getting involved in this issue cost King Alexander dearly, the former president and chancellor of LSU. That's another one where a lot of people in higher education are going to be running from the hills rather than making their positions known.
Well, and I think, though, that the region's policy gives them an opportunity to kind of have it a little bit of both ways. And so, I mean, it opened up the number of admissions exceptions. And so they can say, you know, yes, sirree, we're going to have a hard ACT score, but we also allow for these exceptions for students who may not score well on tests.
Mark Ballard's columns appear every Sunday, and this one is one that is not groundbreaking as far as revealing anything, but the intensity of what's going on with tort reform, it could reach epic levels. This is going to be a real dogfight at the Capitol this year, it appears.
Massively so, I think, and I mean, the reaction that I got from a number of readers of that column was pretty intense, and you know, angry, using language that would get them fired for if they were a judge. But I mean, that kind of shows the intensity and the hard lines that have been drawn over this. And part of the problem with the tort reform movement is they have yet to show how exactly it's going to lower the cost of automobile insurance, which is underlying this entire thing.
And the governor is in a spot where he can affect this potentially, but the legislature could potentially override a veto. So how much input can the governor have?
Well, I think that the governor is going to be and should be looking for things within the procedures of jurisprudence in Louisiana that can be changed, that should be changed, and there are some. Now, there are hard lines now, so that, you know, it's an all or nothing kind of thing. But it depends, in my mind, that if the governor can show a willingness to negotiate, to accept some of the changes without all of the changes, that that would undermine what would be an override of the veto, the first one since the 90s.
Well, Mark wrote a column last week, and I'm a numbers guy, and you note the median household in the country is 60,336, Louisiana's 46,145. Our poverty rate is 19.7%. The national average is 13.4%. And then when you dive down to a place like Natchitoches Parish, where a fine university is located, 44.7% of the residents there are below the poverty level. And the governor is sending his old war horse, the former chief of staff, Ben Nevers, out to solve this problem. Ben's got his work cut out, doesn't he?
He does. And, I mean, I kind of agree with him. I've been trying to write about rural poverty for several years now, and to no effect. I mean, it's even difficult for me to persuade the editors of the newspaper to put them in, because we really don't think about Louisiana north of the I-10. And the point I was making was that with those numbers, one reason why they are so extreme is because of the high poverty rates, because of the low median incomes, because of the low high school graduations that are taking place in these fast depopulated rural parishes. And I guess the point I'm making is that now it is going to cost me and you who live south of the I-10. And that is one, I mean, we can't just ignore it, and as we have for the last 40 years. And Ben Nevers, who has been trying to sound that trumpet for 40 years, has finally gotten somebody to listen to him, another guy from one of these small towns that are in trouble.
Well, and Mark notes that in Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge Parish, median household income, $52,947. Higher than the state, lower than the national average, and this is in a parish which has a high poverty level. So, believe it or not, we have lots of haves and have-nots. Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.